Everybody doing good tonight?
Yeah!
All right, very good. All right, I'm going to get right to the Bible story. So in tonight's Bible story, we're going to see two different people doing two completely different things. And one of those people, they're leading other people to God. They're being a leader, bringing people to God, bringing people God's direction. The other person in the story is actually being led by their old life. And so sometimes we find ourselves in one of these two groups. We find that either we are leading other people to God, or our old life, the old things we used to do, are pulling us back, and we are being led. So we're either leading people in the right direction, or we're being led in the wrong direction. And it can happen really easily, right? Being led in the wrong direction. So tonight, I want to ask you this question. Are you leading others to God, or are you leading yourself away from God? It's a question I want you to think about as we talk tonight. Tonight's Bible story is going to be in Genesis 19. This is way back in the Old Testament. And this story is in the time of Abraham. Abraham was really close to God. He and God would have conversations. God would tell him stuff. And he would pray and talk to God. It was like they were close. And so God approaches Abraham one day, and he tells him that there are these two cities that had done so many evil things that God couldn't ignore it. Like, the evil they had done was so terrible that God couldn't ignore it, and God was going to destroy these cities. And Abraham was like, whoa, that's big news, all right? That's a big deal. That's really sad. So he goes to God, and he says, all right, God, hold on, time out. If there are 50 people in this city who are not just crazy evil, will you save the city for 50 people? And God says, yes. He says, all right, how about 40 people? Would you save the city if there's 40 people who aren't just completely evil? And God says, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And so he keeps doing that all the way down to 10 people. And he says, God, if there are 10 people who aren't completely evil, will you save these cities? And God says, yes. All right, so God agreed to it. Well, unfortunately, what would happen is that there would not even be 10 people there that weren't completely evil. And God sent two angels to do two things. So one, he sent these angels to go check out the city and see, hey, how bad is it? Is it really as bad as, you know, we keep hearing and all that? And the other thing was, there was a family there. His name was Lot, and this was the nephew of Abraham. And these angels, their job was to go get Lot. If the city was really that bad, it was to get Lot and his whole family out of there before the catastrophe happened. So these angels show up, and they found that, sure enough, these cities were, like, super evil, like, more evil than you can imagine. Like, nothing we even see today, really. Like, really, really rough, right? The whole city, just about everyone in there except for Lot and his family. So, like, 99.9% of everyone was in really bad shape, really doing very evil things. And so the angels are like, all right, bet, we got to get you guys out of here. So they go find them, and they're like, hey, we're going to get you guys out of here. But Lot was hesitant. He was like, are you sure this is really happening? Like, do we really need to leave? And so what the angels did, it says that they led their entire family, like, they pulled them out of there, and they got them to the edge of town. And they get them to the edge of town, and once they get here, this is what the angels told them, right? Genesis 19, 17, this is what it says. As soon as they brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. So he gives them these instructions. And the angels here, they're telling Lot, hey, run for your life. Don't look back. And it's really interesting how this worked, because we find that to get them to the edge of town, you know, the angel, like, made them come out there to the edge of town. But then once they got there, they had the choice they could make. They had free will. And this is really important part of the story, because there's some similarity to us. Lot and his family, they had a choice. They could do one of two things. They could flee and run with everything they had away from what they used to be, away from where they used to live, away from the things they used to be a part of, or, like, be surrounded by, right? Or they could choose option two, which is, hey, I kind of miss that place. I don't want that place to burn up. I'm going to turn back to it and maybe start wanting it again. They had those two options. And this is a really important part of the story, because it's symbolic of the choices that we have. You see, those two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah is the name of those cities, they represent our old life before God. Those towns were full of people they used to hang out with, right? They were full of the culture they were in and decisions that were being made all around them that weren't good. So those cities kind of resembled that. And those people, they were doing things that God didn't approve of. So God wanted them to leave the old life and not turn back. That's what God wants for us. Listen, we're going to have struggles, right? We're going to slip up and fall. Everybody does. Nobody's perfect. But for the most part, God wants us to say, I used to be this. This is who I used to be. He wants you to turn back and not look back to the person you used to be, the things you used to do, the people that were bringing you down you used to hang out with. And so he asks us to run the other way from it. He asks us to turn around and run from it. He wants us to run from bad decisions that are going to have bad consequences. He wants us to get away from the friend group that's been influencing us to do bad things. He wants us to quit watching this stuff on our phone that's bad for us. He may want you to break up with a person who's causing you to stumble. The angels told Lot and his family to run from their old city, right? And God wants us to run from the old habits we had and the old things that were pulling us away from God. He wants us to run. Why does God want us to do that? Why does he want us to leave all the stuff behind that we used to do? Two reasons. One, he knows that sinful living will destroy us. It has consequences that are not good for us. God's not just out here just trying to ruin your fun. God knows that the way of living apart from him ends with really bad consequences. The second reason he wants us to leave that old life is because he knows that what he has to offer you is so much better. It's just so much better than anything else you can find out there living for yourself. So those are the two reasons. And that was true for Lot's family as well. They could flee from the city, not look back, and God had a great future for them. Great things were ahead of them, right? Or they could turn around and look back at the old city and the old things they had, and they could be swept up in the consequences that came with that, with the old life. And the same is true for us. If we point our direction toward God and pursue what he has, there's good in your future. There's great things in store for you. Great plans is what God has for you. But if you get pulled back and swept into the life that he pulled you out of, there's going to be consequences that aren't great. And so it's God's mercy. It's his mercy that says, come to me and follow me and don't turn back. That's the direction God wants us to go. That's what he had for Lot's family as well. And here's how the story plays out. So God begins to destroy the two cities. It was crazy. The Bible says, like, basically like fire and brimstone raining down from heaven. It was wild. Really sad thing that happened. But here's what happens next. In Genesis 19, verse 25, it says this. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife turned back, verse 26. I don't know if I gave you that one. My bad if I didn't. This is what it says, that Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Like, she did what? She became what? Like, she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Everybody look at somebody beside you and say, don't be salty. All right. Two people in this story both had the same situation. Both had the same command from the angels, but they made two completely different decisions. And we have Lot. Lot is saying, guys, we got to go. Everybody come with me. We got to get to safety. Let's get out of here. He is leading other people into the place God wants them to be. Lot's wife makes a completely different decision. She looks at the old life that she left, and she's like, man, that looked kind of good. I kind of want to go back. And immediately she became what the Bible says, a pillar of salt. She immediately had the consequence of that. All right, so we can learn a lot from these stories. And this is what God wants us to grab onto. The truth, there's a truth in every story that isn't just for thousands of years ago, it's for today. Here's the two things, all right? We can lead others in the right direction. That's what God wants us to do. But then at the same time, if we're not careful, we can allow other people in the old life to lead us back in that direction. And we have that choice to make every single day. And so I want to break down both of these things. And the first thing is this. Don't be led by the wrong things. All right? Don't be led by the wrong things. Here's the reality. something is going to lead us. We all have things that shape us, that influence us, that get us going a certain direction. And you can allow the things of God to shape you. That's the first thing that might influence you. And that would look like, hey, you're making a decision to be here, right? You're coming to church. You're surrounding yourself at church or wherever with people who are going to be good influences. You read your Bible. You pray. You really want to spend time with God and grow in your relationship. You do things to invest in your relationship with God. So that's how you let God influence you. But there's an alternative to that. There's an alternative to that where you can let the wrong things influence you. And that's when we allow ourselves to be led by temptation. That's when we decide, you know what? I'm just going to stop reading my Bible altogether. I think I got this without needing God's word, right? Or it could be just surrounding yourself with the wrong friends. When we decide to follow Jesus, he gives us a new heart. We talked about that a few weeks ago, him putting a new heart in us. And he does that. He absolutely does that. But that doesn't mean that we still don't get tempted. It doesn't mean that old things don't try to pull at us. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because you think, I'll become a Christian, right? I decide to follow Jesus, but now I still want to do things that I shouldn't be doing, right? And there's a wrestling match. There's every day a wrestling match over your soul. There's a wrestling match for you to do the right thing. And just because you get saved and follow Jesus doesn't mean that that struggle is over. What happens is you have an enemy who wants to tempt you and wants to pull you back. And the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what that means, he sees the life you're going after. He wants to try to get between you and God with anything he can. And so you have this choice to make. And this is what 1 Peter 1:14 says. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So God called you to himself and to leave that stuff behind. Following him, a large part of that is understanding the desires you had when you lived apart from God. Like this verse says, you had these desires that weren't godly, that weren't the right thing. God is calling you now not to get pulled back into those. And what this verse tells us is that that is a possibility. Just because we get saved doesn't mean all of a sudden we're never going to mess up or never have a desire to. And so God calls us to make a conscious decision to follow him. It's a decision you have to make, a decision you're faced with all the time. So for me, I know I encountered this when I was, how was I, 19 years old. I was following Jesus. I was really trying, guys. I was making some good decisions. I was trying to get in with the right people at church. I was in my Bible, probably not as much as I should be, but you know, I was reading some and all that. But there was one area I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to give up my music. And I liked, you know, I liked Tupac. I liked a lot of these 90s rappers. I liked all this stuff. And I would play it. And listen, guys, this stuff, it may seem harmless, but it has an impact on you. Music absolutely has an effect on you, right? And so for me, God called me to let that go. I felt convicted and I felt, you know what? I think God wants me to give this up. And you know what I did? I didn't do the right thing. I didn't give it up. I decided, no, I want to kind of just like keep this influence because I like listening to it. And here's what happened with me. And this is what happens with us spiritually, right? When we give in to one area and we tell God no, it's like we have this guard that gets lower and lower and lower, and we get weaker and weaker spiritually in all kinds of areas. And so for me resisting God's leading me to let go of something, telling God no, it made me more weak in other areas of my life. And I started giving in to temptation more. I started getting in with the wrong friend group more. And next thing you know, 2 years had gone by, and I had gone down a really bad road. And all of that started because God was asking me to leave my old life when it came to my music, and I was telling him no. I was resisting the work of the Holy Spirit to bring me closer to God. And I don't say all that to scare y'all, but I tell you all that so you can know there's a reality at play. You don't have to be perfect. It's not that. But when God starts dealing with you and saying, you know what, maybe you need to leave that friend group. Maybe it's the music, that maybe it's the show you're watching that's got like whatever it might be in it that you know isn't godly. And you start resisting God in that area, you make yourself weaker spiritually, and the enemy can come in and cause something way worse to be a part of your life. And so I want you to know, like 1 Peter 1:14 says, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, right? Don't conform to the old desires that you had. And so the first thing we see is that we don't need to be led by the wrong things. That happened to Lot's wife. The old life and everything that represented, she was supposed to be running this way, right? And she decided she wanted to look back. She wanted one more look. She, in her heart, she wanted to be there, despite the fact that it had consequences coming down on it. And so for us, God doesn't want us to look back at the old life, but to look forward to him and keep moving. That's the first thing we learn. Don't be led by the wrong things. So instead, there's a better approach. And this is thing number two. Choose to lead others in the right direction. This is what Lot did in the story, right? He has got his family. He's like, guys, we're out of here. Let's all go. Even though his wife didn't listen on that, he was still running and trying to lead. His daughters were with him, trying to lead them in the right direction, trying to get out of the city. He knew that the cities were about to be destroyed. He didn't want his family in the middle of that. So he led them away as fast as they could. And the reason, the motivation he had is that he wanted them to be saved. He was an influencer of the people around him, the family around him. The motivation is that he wanted the people around him to be saved. And so this is what we find in 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, I think I gave you the wrong one, Cody. I give you 1 Corinthians. Oh, I didn't? Okay, sweet. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And so I want to break that down really quick. What this means is that all of us, every single person here, you and everybody you know, there will come a day when you move from this life, your life here is over, there will be a time that you actually stand in front of God, right? And you have to give an account for everything. You are judged by him for what you did in this life. And so that is what this verse says, right? So picture that and imagine that. That day will come. Nobody can avoid it. Nobody can avoid standing in front of God one day. Every single one of us. And so because of that, this is what the very next verse says this, all right? So remember that, and now we're going to verse 11. It says, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. We try to persuade others. And so when we talk about leading other people to God, why would we do that? Why would I go be bold about my faith when I know people are going to make fun of me for it? Why would I embarrass myself by inviting somebody to Youth Alive or inviting somebody to church? What's my motivation for that when I'd rather be popular or I'd rather have people like me? Why would I do that? Well, it's what verse 10 says and verse 11 says of 2 Corinthians 5. The fact that every single person you talk to, they will have that moment where they stand in front of God. And when they stand in front of God, you want it to be a good thing for them. You want them in heaven with you. And that's what Paul says. It says, since then we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. What's it mean to persuade? It means you're trying to show them the truth of who God is, the love that Jesus has for them, the good future he has for them. And you're saying, hey, I'm following Jesus. Come with me. Come with me to church. Let's sit at lunch together. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's have a Bible study together. Come to Youth Alive. Hey, how can I pray for you? We're trying to persuade other people on God's goodness. There's actually a story about a guy. His name's Abraham Aguilar, and I think this is out in California. He was a kid. He was like 16 years old. He was not following Jesus at all. He actually played soccer. He wanted to be a pro soccer player, but he broke his collarbone. And so he just got really down, got really discouraged. He gave up on his dream, and he got into drugs. And he got around some wrong people. And he went down this road that was not good. So him and his family end up moving away. They end up moving away to somewhere else in California. And his mom says, hey, you know what? You're coming to church with me no matter what. You got to go to church with me. And so he's like, all right, fine. So he goes to church. He sits in the back row. He doesn't really want anything to do with it. But slowly God starts working on his heart. And finally one day he makes that decision. You know what? I'm going to give Jesus a chance. I'm going to give him a try here. He decides to follow Jesus, you know, and he said it didn't happen overnight. Like, he had struggles and things he's working through, but what he saw is God slowly started completely transforming his life. And suddenly he's at school, and he's like, you know what? Other people need to know about this. Jesus is too good for me to not tell people about him. And so he said, what it says in the story that I read is that he started telling everybody, whether it be people at school, the students, the teachers, he was telling janitors. And so what ended up happening is that he started leading people to Jesus. He would sit at the lunchroom with people and just start talking to them very boldly, just very plainly, in a nice way. It wasn't being combative, just telling them about Jesus. And so it started a Bible study. They had 12 people at the Bible study. By the end of the semester, that semester of his senior year, he had led 275 people to Jesus. That's crazy. The next semester, his last semester in high school, they had to move that Bible study. It got so big, they had to move it to the gym. There were so many people there. And by the time he graduated, he had led 895 students to the Lord. This is somebody who is no different than any of you guys. No different than any of you guys. All he did is he said, listen, I want to be a person. I used to be a person who was led into all kinds of stuff. That's not me anymore. Now I'm a person. I'm going to lead others. And so how do you do that? Guys, listen, every single one of you can be that. How do you do that? You just make up your mind. Hey, Jesus is great. I love Jesus. He's with me. I'm just going to start sharing Jesus. I'm going to show kindness to people. I'm going to show them who Jesus is with my actions, with my words. I'm going to invite them to stuff. I'm going to listen for when my friends are going through stressful stuff. And that's going to be a cue to me. Hey, I can pray for them and just offer to pray. Be bold about it. So God has an influence for every single person here. And so I want everyone, if you would, let's just stand up together. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, God, we just thank you for your message. We thank you for giving us a story that can see two completely different ways of doing things. And so right now, maybe there's somebody in this room, when you hear this story and you think about turning back to your old life, and you know maybe you've been doing that, maybe right now there's some struggles you have, and it's just so hard, isn't it? But there's struggles you have right now, and you're tired of looking back to the old habits. You're tired of hanging out with the old friend group. You're tired of being pulled back into the person you wanted to leave behind. And if that's you and you want us to pray with you tonight, just lift your hand right where you are. All right, I see all these hands. I'm going to ask you also to step on up front. And adult leaders, if you would come on up front. I mean, you can just face the. You can face this way, either way. All right, we're going to try to pray with every single one of you guys. I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for people who are humbly coming down here because they want your help. And this is what I know. Your word says that you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. No matter what kind of trouble it is, even if it's trouble for my own mistakes, you are faithful to help us. And so we ask, out of your mercy and grace, that you would sweep through this room tonight. Sweep through this room tonight. Move through this room and meet with people in these altars to give them help over temptation, to give them strength in their weakness. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you would do that tonight. And if you're left out there and maybe you want to just come find a place to pray or pray over someone, I want to challenge you, one of those two things. You're finding a place to pray, or you're finding people that you want to pray for.